Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos. We are picking up from Daf Lamed Amud Beis at the two dots, about 15 lines down from the top. In Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to do Lamed Amud Beis and Be'ezus Hashem Lamed Aleph as well. Again, in our goal to be ahead or at least up to date by the end of Pesach. So we begin with the Gemara. Two dots, about 15 lines down, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. I'm learning the Shurim this week, especially Lili Nishmas, my father, whose yard site is this Shabbos HaGadol, Yud Nisan. His name was Yosef Nisan, Yud Nisan, and he was Nifter on Yud Nisan. And this year, unfortunately, I will not have the schus to say Kaddish, Lili Nishmaso, and Davin and Dominion, which is, again, something that many people are unfortunately facing. So I'm learning Lili Nishmaso, these extra shiurim that we're giving, and Be'ezus Hashem, all the people that are learning this, there should be a schus for my father's holy neshama as well as the neshamas that they are learning for. So, we begin. Amar Rav Yehuda, Berei de Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei de Rav. Rav Yehuda, who was the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, said in the name of Rav. Now, we just had a whole story with Rav Tamchan over here, which we had some psukim that seemed to not make sense. Shlomo HaMelech seemed to argue with his father, and then he seemed to argue with himself. So once we're on the subject of various psukim that seem to contradict one another, so we have an additional statement. Bikshu Chacham Lignos Sefer Koheles. The rabbis wanted to remove Sefer Koheles from the Chav Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, because they didn't understand it. There seemed to be some contradictions in it, in Koheles, that couldn't be reconciled. So the rabbi said, we better put it aside, we better be gonies it. We find elsewhere the rabbis wanted at one point to do the same thing with Sefer Yecheskel. We'll see they wanted to do with Mishlei as well. And obviously all were left in the canon, the 24 books of the Kisvei HaKodesh of Tanakh. In any event, the rabbis sought to do so, as we said, because Dvar Sosum says that, because of the contradictions. So, why didn't they do so? Because Koheles starts off with Divrei Torah and ends with Divrei Torah, and therefore anybody reading the Sefer will understand that it's all Torah, and that they'll work to understand the contradictions, as the Gemara itself will work out some of the contradictions. Where do we see the beginning is Torah? Where do we see the end is Torah? Tchilasu Divrei Torah, the words of Koheles start with Torah. It says in Pasuk Gimel, Ma Yisron Lo Adam, B'chol Amalo, what benefit is it for a person with all of his hard work on this world, Shiyamol Tachas HaShomesh, they works under the sun, he's going to die at the end. So what's the benefit of it? So the Amrei Dvei Rav Yani, so in the Beis Medrash Rav Yani, they explained that this refers, Tachas HaShemesh Udelo, any work that man does under the sun, in other words, during the time that the sun is in existence, in other words, working on mundane things, that's ultimately not going to be fruitful. Kodim Shemesh, but that implies that something that you're working for that was created before the Shemesh, the Gemara and Medrash tell us that the Torah was created 2,000 years before the world. So the Torah is considered pre-Shemesh. So that's not called Tachas HaShemesh. Oh, Yeshlo, there, if a person is Omal, he works hard at learning Torah, so then he will have prop from that. He'll have eternal Nitzchias, he'll have all the beautiful things in Olam HaEmes, even though in this world there is no reward in the world to come, there's tremendous reward. So that's how Koheles starts with Torah. Sof of Divrei Torah, how does Koheles end with Torah? Because it ends, Dechsev, Pasuk says, Sof Dovar HaKol Nishma. Bottom line is, at the end of everything, this is important. The only thing that's important is Elohim Yirah, you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yes Mitzvah Sof Shemar, and you should do his mitzvahs. Why? Kizeh Kol Adam. That is the purpose of man being on this world. What does it mean? My kizeh kol adam. What exactly does that mean? So Amar Eliezer, Eliezer says, Kolom Kulol Nivra El B'Shulzeh. The whole world was created for such a person. Right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Bishvili Nivra Olam. A person should always say, because of me, the world was created. But only if you're a good person, only if you're a person who has Yirah Shemayim and is Shomer Torah Mitzvos. For such a person, even a single person, it's Kedai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world. Rabbi Abba Barakan Omar, Shoku Zekine Kolam Kulo, this person who's a Yari Shemayim, he's a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, right? The Pasuk says, Esel Kim Yirav Yesmisal Shemor, such a person, he's Kineged the entire world. It's worth that the whole world was created for him. The whole world was created only to be a companion for such a person. Tzevis is like a companion. Tzevis means like a pair of tongs. So it's one, it's a companion to the other. So the whole world was created for such a person. In fact, that's why many say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon as a singular person. He didn't only create one fish, he didn't only create one donkey, he created many of them. So therefore, Adam was created unique. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Bishvili Nivrolam, every person should be able to say, the whole world is only for me. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, it's kedai, so to say, that the world doesn't exist. Every person should always imagine that every action that he takes is sustaining the world. Gemara continues and says, what other words over here are sosizazeh, my dvar sosizazeh? Give us some examples of how the Kohelis is soser one pasuk to the other pasuk. So it says in one pasuk, siv, tov kas mischok. It says that anger, kas, is better than laughter. And then it says, uksiv, lischok, amayati meholo. But then it says, what good is laughter? Is it something that's worthwhile? So the Gemara says, ksiv. Another place it says, Shibachti and Yisasimcha. Another place it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising joy. Shlomo Melech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises joy. And then it says, Uksiv, L'simcha Ma'aseh Osa. What value is there to joy? So therefore, it seems to be a stira, Minei Obey. So Gemara says, Lo Kasha, no, there is no stira here. When it says, Tov Kas Mischok, that it's better to be angry than to be filled with laughter, that's talking about different types of anger and laughter. Tov Kas, Shekoes HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al HaTzadikim Olam Hazeh. It's good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, gets angry at Tzadikim in this world, so they should be repaid for whatever they deserve to be repaid in this world and have all of their rewards saved for the world to come. Mischok Shemasachi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al HaRishoyim Olam Hazeh. As opposed to when God bestows good things on the Rishoyim in this world, so that's not good for them in all eternity. So therefore, the kas in this world is actually good for the tzaddik. So he gets his pech, he gets his punishment in this world where it's relatively unimportant, and he saves all his glory and all his goodness for the world to come. And the exact opposite for the Russia. That's the famous answer to the question, why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people? That's the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to save all the good for the tzaddikim for their eternity, and is willing to give them a little bit of a hard time in this world, because that's minimal compared to getting a hard time in the world to come, and vice versa for the Rishayim. Then the second part of the pasuk, L'shoch HaMayati Meholo, is laughter something that's actually good? Yeah, that's where laughter is good. Not in this world, but in the world to come. So therefore, there is no contradiction between these psukim. Then it also says, "V'shibachti and isa simcha." The pasuk said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises simcha, and it says that's referring to simcha shel mitzvah. That's when it's good to be b'simcha. It's when you're doing a mitzvah. A person's learning. A person's doing a chesed. So he's happy about that. So that's a joy with the simcha. Well, simcha maze also, but it says simcha of what value is simcha? Zu simcha sheino shel mitzvah. This is the type of simcha that's not a simcha shel mitzvah. It's a simcha of hoilus, of a waste of time. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what purpose does that accomplish? And the Gemara Dachshund for us, Lamedcha, to teach us, Shein Shechina Shorel Lo Mitoch Atzus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ever settle, so to say, on a person if they're depressed, if they're in a state of Atzus, of sadness. Lo Mitoch Atzluch, nor does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, rest his presence on somebody who's a lazy person. Lo Mitoch Schok, and not somebody that's always making fun, making chayzik, not serious. Lo Mitoch Chalus Rosh, likewise, a person who's always lightheaded and not doing things, again, in the proper way, giving them the solemnity that they deserve. Lo mitoch sicha, and a person that's always just wasting his time in idle conversation. Lo mitoch dvar metelim, another form of idle conversation over here, of a person who's just wasting his time. In fact, some don't have the gears of sicha over here because it's the same thing as dvar metelim. In any event, what is the purpose of a person? Lo mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. A person who should be happy is only happy if he's really doing simcha shel mitzvah. The joy that you get from doing other things, that's not a real simcha. Again, a person needs to relax sometimes. A person needs to do some things that will you know, take his mind off maybe some more serious and more depressing things that he has. But that's not the essence of life. That's not the purpose of life. The person's life is to do mitzvahs, and a person should get the greatest simcha from doing a mitzvah. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, V'ata kichuli minagein. So Elisha, when he says to his tamidim, go bring me somebody that can co-play a musical instrument, minagein. Go get the musician, and then when he plays, when this musician goes and plays for me some music, then I can be happy. But the same thing by Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech called for David to go play the harp, so Shaul could be happy. We find that elsewhere that the Nevi'im, they said they couldn't receive Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they were in a depressed state. So the way to get out of a depressed state, the way to go and combat the tzaros of this world, the way nowadays with COVID, Rachmana Litzlan, if a person is suffering from COVID, so the best eitzah, if he's physically able to do so, is to learn Torah, do mitzvahs, be kind to other people, do chesed for other people. That's the greatest simcha that a person can have. That can raise a person up out of depression. Gemara continues and says, Amar Yehuda, chen l'dvar halacha. Likewise, if a person is really going to be happy, it's v'chein l'dvar halacha. Learning halacha will make a person happy. Amar Rava, v'chein l'chalom tov. Again, if a person wants to have a chalom tov, so then you should try to be happy. If you're doing mitzvahs all day, you're going to have good dreams. If a person is learning halacha, then he's going to be happy. So this is the essence of Yid's life. Gemara really says this? Is this so? Ini? Rav Gidl, who's one of the famous Talmidim of Rav, says, if a Talmid Chacham is learning by his Rebbe, and he's just sitting there happy, that's not right. The Ein Sfos Sofos Notfos Mar, if he's not in awe of his Rebbe, his lips are dripping mar, so to say, Tikavena, that such a person is going to get burned. He's going to go and unfortunately go to Gehenna. He's going to be burned up if he's sitting there in a lighthearted state in front of his Rebbe. Shinema, as opposed to Seth, Sifsosav Shoshanim. If your lips are red like roses, Shoshanim are roses, Notvos Mar over. They'll be dripping over here. The more this myrrh, and that is Altikre Mar, don't read it myrrh, this type of spice. Or a flower of some sort. So don't read it. Altikre mar over. Don't read it this flowing myrrh. But instead, read it Ella mar over. Read it over here that it's talking about a bitterness, an awe. So if the person isn't in awe in front of his Rebbe, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. Likewise, altikre shoshanim. Don't read it over here as roses. Ella shoshonim. When you're learning. So in other words, if you're not in awe of your Rebbe while you're learning, you're going to be in trouble. So how can you tell me a person should be happy? Gemara says, Lokasha, it depends. Habi Rabba, Habi Talmud, it depends. The Rebbe should be very happy. The Talmud should be sitting there in awe. Remember my Rebbeim telling me, Rabbi Yashav Yasalavechik, Zatzal, when they were learning in the Shia, they were petrified. They didn't want the Rebbe to call on them. They were afraid of his strength in Torah. So that's the way some Rebbeim are. So the Talmud should be in awe of the Rebbe like that. But the Rebbe should be sitting there with great simcha. Bibayisem, another answer, Havar Rabba. Both of them are talking about the Rebbe. The Rebbe sometimes has to be in a very stern sort of a way, and another times in a very, very joyous sort of a way. But Lokasha, it depends. Amikami de Livsach, before he starts learning, the Rebbe should entice everybody in. Say, Rashi says over here, Milsa de Bichusa, he should start off with a light-hearted comment. And then, Hola Basa de Pasa, well, once he gets involved in the Shia, then it has to be much more solemn, much more serious. And this was the way Rabbah did his Shia. Kyo de Rabbah. When Rabbah would give the Shia, Mikami de Pasa Chlula Rabbah, before he started the Shia, Amar Milsa de Bidichusa, he would start off with a lighthearted comment. He would start off with a joke. And everybody would laugh, and then then they would all sit there in tremendous awe of their Rebbe, and then he would sit there learning. So that was the Gemara telling us about Koheles, that they wanted to be Gonis Koheles because of the Listeros. The same exact Gemara tells us, V'yav Sefer Mishle, Bikshu Lignos, they also wanted to store away, put away, hide away Sefer Mishle, because again, Shayu Dvarim Sosu Zezeb, because there were some internal contradictions in it that made it very difficult to understand. So Gemara says, so if this was such a good idea, why didn't they do it? Why didn't they Gonis Sefer Mishle? Amri, they said, Sefer Koheles Lav Ayininon V'Ashachinon Taima. We wanted to be hiding away Koheles. And I would say the same thing by Yecheskel. They wanted to hide away Yecheskel as well. And they found Terutzim for all the steers that they saw. So therefore, Hachanami, so to hear, Ayininon, we should go and look into Mishle very carefully, and we'll be able to go and see the reconciliation of the steeros that we have. No, give us some examples. My Dvar of Sosu says, give me an example of where Mishle it says one thing and then it says in Mishle the exact opposite. So one example, Ksiv, Al Tan Kasil Kivalto. Don't go and give answers. Don't give the responses to a Kasil as a fool. According to Kivalto, according to his foolishness. And yet, in the next pasuk, Ksiv, Ane Kasil Kivalto. Go and give the response. Answer the Kasil according to his foolishness. So it seems to be a direct stira. So the Gemara answers very simply, Lokasha, Habi Divrei Torah, Habi Mili Di Alma. It depends. If you're answering him in Torah, so you have to answer him. Because maybe there's something there, and if you don't answer him, he's going to lead and end up having an incorrect pshat, and it could be a terrible tekala. But when he's talking about his nonsense, there's no chance that it's of any significance, so you don't have to go and answer a fool when he's talking foolishness. And now we have a Maisa Shoya. One time there was a bad person who came in front of Rebbe, a certain guy that came in front of Rebbe, and Amalei, this chutzpah guy said to Rebbe, Ishtecho Ishti, your wife is my wife. Rachmanu Litzan, he was saying to Rebbe that he had relations with Rebbe's wife. And the children that your wife had, they're not your children, Rebbe, they're really my children. A chutzpah guy. We'll see what happens to him. Amalei, so Rebbe says to him very, very calmly, Ritzoncho Shetishte Ko Shoyayin, would you like to come and have a glass of wine with me? Well, let's talk about this a little bit more. So this horrible person said, yes. Shosa, he drank a glass of wine, upaka, and he like burst apart, he split open, and he died. What exactly is going on over here? So the Ian Yaakov brings down from the Marsha that this person himself was a mamzer. And we have the famous idea, kol haposel b'mumo posel. Anybody that finds fault in other people, he's probably seeing that fault in that other person because he knows that fault well himself. So when this person was basically telling Rebbe, your children are mamzerim, Rebbe saw right away that this guy was a mamzer himself. only a mamzer would have the chutzpah. Mamzer were very chutzpahdik. So he realized that this person was so chutzpahdik to say this to him must be a mamzer himself. And the Ben Yoyada adds, that's why Rebbe gave him wine. Because we have a famous idea. It says, Yotza sod, nichtas yayin yotza sod. When you drink wine, the secrets come out. In fact, the gematria of yayin is 70, and the gematria of sod is 70. So you put in wine, 70, and out comes 70, the sod. And therefore, he was hoping to find out by giving this person wine what he was alluding to, what this person was really thinking. Furthermore, he brings down on a more Kabbalistic idea, there have been others, great Baal Kabbalah. He says the letters of the first letters of Kos Shel Yayin is Rosh Tevos of a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yud Chav Shin is one of the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, he says that was the shame that Moshe Rabbeinu used to kill the Mitzri in Mitzrayim when he looked both ways. And he saw that nobody was watching and he killed the Mitzri. And he killed him with this shame of Hashem, which was the Rosh Tevos of Kos Shel Yayin. And he points out that the Sofe Tevos over there is L'Nes. So, Kos Shel Yayin, the end letters are L'Nes. So that's what's going on over here on a more deeper level. In other words, this person was punished for his chutzpahdikness, and Rebbe gave it to him. Similarly, we have another story, how did Asel come to Rechia? Others say the story was the same exact story, it's about Rebbe. In any event, it was about Rebbe or Rechia, where this chutzpahdik guy comes and says, Amalei, im choyishti, your mother is really my wife. And therefore, you are my son. In other words, he was suggesting that Rachman al-Litzlan, that Ruchia was a mamzer also. So Amalei Ruchia said to him, you want a glass of wine? The chutzpah guy took it, and he also split apart. And he was killed, he was destroyed. Again, in both of these situations, we learn a midah from Rebbe, or in the second case is Ruchia, it was Rebbe again, and the idea is that don't fight fire with fire sometimes. This person, if Rebbe would have fought back with him, if Ruchia would have fought back with him, it only would have caused more trouble. Because then it would say, this guy says this. No, where there's smoke, there's fire. So he didn't cause any fight. He said, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take care of it, and that's the way it was. The best thing is always to run away from Machlokas. Ruchia said, Ahani leit slusa le Rebbe, how come Rebbe was so successful here? Because Rebbe all of his life davened, the lo l'shabye b'nei mamzeri, that he should never have any of his children, he should be suspected, Rachman al-Assad, that they were mamzerim. Why would Rebbe daven like this? The Rebbe, ki abi matzli omer, because when Rebbe was davening, he would say, Yer samo fanecha Hashem Elokeinu, and we say this in our davening every morning, shetatzileinu yom mi'azi panim mi'azus panim. You should save us from being involved with people that are aze panim and azus panim. And as I mentioned before, this act of brazenness over here is a hallmark of a mamzer. So Rebbe constantly davened that he shouldn't have anything to do with such arrogant, brazen people, because nothing good can come of it. Gemara continues, b'divrei sora ma'ihi. We said before that in regards to foolishness, don't argue with the fool. But in regards to Torah, even if you're saying something foolish, you have to respond to him. We'll give an example of that. Rabbi Gamliel was once sitting and darshaning, and he said, "Asida isha teleid b'choyom." Shenamar, a woman will give birth every day, because it says in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, "Harav v'yoledes yachdov," a woman will have a child, conceive a child, "v'yoledes yachdov," and she'll give birth to that child right away. So some suggest that it's at the same time, you have a conception and birth at the same time. That's what happened to Adam and Chava. They conceived and gave birth on the same day. That's the way it was supposed to be. It's only be'etzev tel dibonim that you have a 9-month pregnancy and all the times of pregnancy. That was a punishment. Originally, you'd give birth and you'd conceive and give birth the same day. Or that means that a woman could conceive, give birth, and still conceive again while she's in her pregnancy. So this is what Rabbi Gamliel taught, and one of the Talmidim didn't understand this, and he ridiculed it. He ligligal of also Talmud. One of the Talmidim scoffed at this, and he said, "Amar enkel chodesh tachas shemesh." He says, "What's going on over here? We have a rule that there's nothing new under the sun. When did we ever have that a woman could be pregnant and get pregnant again, or be pregnant and give birth, and then get pregnant and give birth right away? Enkel chodesh tachas shemesh. There's no such thing." So Gemara says, "Amar Gamliel tells him back." I'll show you that there is such a thing. It's not something that's chodesh tachas Hashemesh. It's not something new. We have this. And what is that? Nofak achvele tarnegolis. He showed him a chicken, right? A hen. A chicken goes and lays an egg, and there's other eggs inside, and yet it keeps on laying eggs every day. Chickens have a 21-day cycle. They lay eggs for 21 days straight. So therefore, this is like the woman who is pregnant and yet conceives again. Similarly, Yosef Rabbi Gamliel with the Darish. Another time, Rabbi Gamliel was darshening, and he said, "Asidim lila noshal mitzian peros b'chol yom. Trees are going to get fruit every day." Sinema, the pasuk says, "V'nasa anaf yasa peri," that the branches will come out and fruits will come out. So, pasuk in Yecheskel, in terms of what's going to happen in the future. So, Gemara says, "Manaf b'chol yom," just like a branch comes out every day on a tree, "Apri b'chol yom." So, two fruits will come out every day on a tree. You'll pluck a apple off the tree, and a new apple will regrow. Again, a Talmud heard this. Legally, oils of Talmud Yomar. A certain Talmud over there was with Rabbi Gamliel, and he laughed at this and he said, "That can't be. That's ridiculous." Again, we have the pasuk from Mishlei that says there's nothing new that's going to be made in this world. Everything was created. It was created in Ma'aseh Bereishis. Ein chodesh tachas haShemesh. Nothing new in this world. So I'm alone. Gamliel said to him, "I'll show you that this is already created." What did he do? Nafal achvilet slath. So he showed him the capeberry tree, and this is we had this word in Brachos that there are different types of fruits and produce. There's four things that this tree has, and three of them are edible, and therefore, each day, something new can come out. So just like a new fruit can come out, so this tzlaf can have new fruits or new produce or something edible from it every day, something else. One more story. Another time, Rav Gamliel was darshing another pasuk. I see the Eretz Yisrael should told sig pluskos uklei melos. He said, in the future, Eretz Yisrael will give forth actual bread and all sorts of delicious dainty cakes and clothing directly from the tree that's going to grow on the tree. Again, Adam Arishon was punished. You have to work to have bread come out. But I mentioned previously, the Torah Chaim and Sanhedrin, the Megillah Yeshayahu, they all bring down that it used to be in the time before Adam and Chava sinned that there was a pumpernickel tree, a rye bread tree. You just plucked it right off the tree. So this pasuk that we have over here is going to allude to the future, that will happen again, that the trees will bring forth directly fruit. Shinema, as the pasuk says, he pieces bar ba'aretz. The Tehillim, it says that there will be this bar, this produce, and pisa, some say it's like a konis pasim, so you'll have clothing and produce growing straight from the trees. You want a new suit, you pick it off the tree. You want a bread, you pick it off the tree. So again, there was a Talmud over there, and he laughed at this, and he said, "That's ridiculous." Again, he quoted the same pasuk, "There's nothing new under the sun, and therefore, how could this possibly be?" So again, Rav Gamliel responds back to this Talmud. I'll show you, there's nothing new. It's already happened. He showed him over here that you have these mushrooms and mushroom-like agents that grow on the ground. They grow very quickly, and it looks like they're coming out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, it's like you have over here bread coming from a tree. And he says that the mushroom is like a pita, like a flat bread, and that you have over here the clay melas navra bar kura. So you have the kura, which is like a heart of palm, a palm tree. So that is also can be used like a material to make ropes from it, and therefore it grows directly from the tree. The mushrooms, it looks like they grow directly over here. You don't have to go and work at it. Again, so these are three examples Rav Gamliel gave of explanations to these psukim. Now we continue to Rabbanon. We learn in the Braisa. Here we have a beautiful series of stories between Hillel and Shammai. And the Braisa starts off and says, a person should always be humble and unov like Hillel. But don't be stern and as strict and unbending as Shammai. Now, chas v'shalom, should we have any bad thoughts about Shammai? Shammai was a gadol b'Torah, but his derech was a much more serious and a much more strict derech, and Hillel was much more of a makariv type of a person. You have individuals that aren't good at being makariv people that are off the derech, and you have other people that are great for people that need a stern hand on them. So Shammai's derech is one derech, and Hillel's derech is another one. Here we're going to accent on Hillel's derech. Now, we turn to the Yomid Aleph. Ma'isevish name of them. There were two people. Shehimru Zezeh. They were fighting with each other, and they were making a bet. Rashi says over here, Nis'arvu k'moshim mamrim esayonim de Sanhedrin. They were fighting with each other. They were causing one to attack the other one. And Tosu says over here, Dini asmachtu mefurish mokwacher. This is a discussion about betting in another place. And this underlying discussion over here is they made a bet, one with the other. They had a wager, and Amru, they said, "Kol mi she'elech v'yaknez Hillel." Anybody can go and get Hillel upset and make him be angry. Yitol arba me'ozos. We give him $400. Anybody want to take the challenge? Amr echad mihem ani yakni tenu. Yeah, somebody said, "Yeah, I'll put up $400. You put up $400. If I get Hillel angry, then I win. Aniak nitenu, I will win. And if not, then I'll give you the $400. Otherwise, you give me the $400. No, they had a wager. What happened? Also, Yom Erev Shabbos. So this was Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, when people are naturally in a rush for Shabbos, and that's the time the Yetzer Hara is always dancing and waiting to cause trouble. The Hillel Chafaf Esrosh. So Hillel was in the shower, and he was going and washing his hair, getting ready for Shabbos. That's what a person is supposed to do. What's in the midst of Erev Shabbos is to wash up for Shabbos. So this guy who made the wager that he could get Hillel angry, he went, Halach V'yavar Pesach Beis Yomar. He went to Hillel's house, and he said, Mi kan Hillel, mi kan Hillel. Is there a guy by the name of Hillel over here? Now you have to understand, Hillel was the Nasi. He was the most famous Jewish person in the world. Everybody knew Hillel. The Maharsha brings down over here six things that this guy did to try to get Hillel's anger up and to get Hillel to be co-ace, and he would win the bet. So number one, the Maharsha says, we'll see, he comes at many different times. Number two, he made believe like he didn't know Hillel. That's a patch and punim. That's a slap in his face. You don't know me, I'm the great Hillel. So that would make him angry. Number three, he made Hillel look like a very unimportant person, when he was really the most important person in the world. Number four was Erev Shabbos. Who has time to answer these klutz kashas that we're going to hear he's going to ask him on Erev Shabbos? Number five, he didn't ask him Torah questions. Hillel maybe has time to answer Torah questions on Erev Shabbos, but he has time to waste his time? No, he doesn't have time to waste his time. So therefore, that would also spur him to get angry. And number six, he asked him questions about all sorts of bad character traits, about arrogance, about stinginess, about going after lots of money and things like that. So that would certainly provoke Hillel. That's six things that Maharsha said this story is going to try to bring out. And nevertheless, Hillel didn't get angry at any of them. In any event, let's read the story. So he asked him, is Hillel, is this guy Hillel here? Is this guy Hillel here? So Hillel's in the middle of the shower. Nisate, he gets out of the shower. He puts on his towel, puts on his robe. He goes out to greet the guy. So Hillel goes and tells this person, Nu bini matam avagaki. He's very quietly, very nice. He says, my son, what would you like? So Amalos, so this chutzpahdika guy says, Shail, yes, Lishon, I got a very important question to ask you. So Hillel says calmly, Amalos, Shal bini Shal, please go and ask me, go and ask me. Again, it's Erev Shabbos. He's in a bathrobe, just came out of the shower. Nu, this better be an important question. That's what I would have said. Nu, so what's the question that this chutzpahdika guy says? Mipnei maroshein shobavliyim segal galos. Why are the Babylonians' heads, Rashi has two pshatim over here, either that they're very elongated, they're not circular, or that they're circular? Why do the Babylonians have circular heads or elongated heads? So Gemara says, Amalo Hill says very calmly, Nu, what a shayla, b'ni shayla gedol shalta. What a great question that you asked me. B'nei shein lehem chayos piklos, because the people who gave birth to them, the midwives, must have clamped their heads in some way, and they didn't take them out properly. Again, a klutz kasha, not a very important question. The guy says, thank you very much. Hillel goes back to the shower, and then, halach v'im tuchachas. The guy doesn't ask right away. He waits till Hillel goes back in the shower, and he waits a little bit of time, lav dafka, an actual hour. It means he waited a little bit of time. In any event, Chazav Yomar, as soon as Hillel's back in the shower, he knocks on the door again, and he says, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. This is the guy by the name of Hillel over here. Nope. Hillel gets out of the shower in his satay, if he puts on his robe, he puts the fries himself off. He also across, he goes back out to greet him. Amalo, he says to the same nudnik, Bini Mato Mivake. She says very nicely, what would you like? Doesn't get angry. Amalo, the person, the chutzpahdik person, the better says, Shaili Yeshli Shal, I got a question for you. So Hillel says calmly, Amalo, Shalbi Shinal. Nu, ask away, my son, ask away. Nu, the guy says, Bimei Ma'inein Shal Tarmudian Terutos. Why do the people from the place called Tarmod? We had it early in the Masechta, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, we had that these were the last people to come in from the Shuk. They would sell the wood. So people went home, and they didn't have any wood in their houses, so they'd come back to the marketplace, and so the last people to leave the marketplace were these Tarmudian. So he says, how come these Tarmudians have eyes that are terutos? Rashi says, terutos are soft. Others explain that it means that they're especially round. We have the expression, Ene Leo Rakos. Leah's eyes were sad or soft, whatever that exactly means. So that's what he said. Why do these Talmudian have these types of eyes? Amalo Hillel responds very calmly, Bini Sheilo Gedol Shalta. Woo, what a great question. Because they live in the places of the desert where there's a lot of sand. The sand goes in their eyes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that their eyes are going to be in a certain way so that the sand won't bother their eyes so much. They have smaller eyes. In this way, the sand won't get in their eyes. Okay, Hillel goes back in the shower. The nudnik waits a little bit. He waits again until Hillel's in the shower. He goes and knocks on the door and says, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. He asks, is there a guy Hillel over here? Again, Hillel calmly gets out of the shower. Nisatev Yosel Krosso. Hillel goes and gets dressed again, goes out to greet him. Amalo, he says, Bini, Matum of Akkes. The same Nudnik, Hillel sees him. He says, Nu, what can I do for you? Very calmly. Amalo, the Nudnik says, Shailu, Yesel Shal, I got a question for you. Amalo, Shal, Bini Shal, Hillel says, calmly, ask away. Bimei, Ma, Ragleim, Shah, Afrikim, Ruchavos. Why do the people who live in Africa have wide legs? Oh. Hillel says, Amalo bini, Shelu Gedol Shata. What a great question. And he explains, with nature, Dorin Bein Bitsi Amai, because they live in very watery lands. It's a very swampy type of area, and they need to have these wide legs in order that they shouldn't sink into the ground. Nope. Very good. Amalo. This guy is really upset, and he's losing his bet. So Shelu's Habi Eishlo. He tells Hillel, I got a lot of questions. And I'm afraid you're going to get angry at me. No, I'm getting angry just by listening to this story. So Hillel calmly sits down in front of him. Amalo, he says, ask away. Ask me anything you want to. It's Erev Shabbos. He's in the middle of his shower. And Hillel stays calm. Amalo, Atu Hillel, Shekar Noscha Nisi Yisrael. You're the guy, Hillel, that they call the head of Kai Yisrael, the president, the Nasi of Kai Yisrael. So again, that's a chutzpah to say that to Hillel. So Amalo, yeah, Hillel says, yeah, that's what they call me. Amalo, the man is boiling mad. Imato, he says, if you're the great Hillel, lo yirbu kemoscha b'Yisrael, there shouldn't be any people like you in Klal Yisrael. Hillel says, no, what did I do to you? Amalo, b'nei ma, b'nei, b'nei ma. Why are you saying that about me? What did I do to you? I've been so nice to you. Amalo, the person said, you just caused me to lose 400 bucks. I couldn't get you angry, and it cost me 400 bucks. Hillel calmly responds and says, Amalo, Hevizor Beruchacha, you should be very happy. Kidaihu Hillel Shita'abin Ayodo Dalim Me'ozuz, Medalim Me'ozuz. It's enough that I should act the way I am, and you should not only not gain the 400 zuz, but have to pay the 400 zuz. Behillel Yachbid, I shouldn't get angry. It's not good if anybody gets angry. So therefore, you should be happy that you lost your money rather than get me angry. The Chasam Sofer has a beautiful explanation over here. What did the guy say to him? Lo Yirbu Kemoscha Bisrael. So he wanted to tell him, you Paskin Hillel over here that asmachta kanya, right? A bet is a valid way to lose money. What Shammai Paskin's asmachta lo kanya. So I'd rather there be people like Shammai who Paskin that my bet isn't the real bet. I don't have to pay the 400 bucks than you who I'd have to pay the 400 bucks. And Hillel responds to him. He says, no, even Shammai Paskin's over here that this would be asmachta kanya. So this would be, you'd lose the money even if it was Shammai. In any event, this shows the greatness of Hillel. For me, just reading this story, I get upset at that guy. And Hillel lived through it and didn't get upset at all. Mark continues tells us another story about Hillel. One time a guy came to convert. He came before Shammai and he said to him, Amalo, Kama Torahs Yesh Lachem, how many Torahs do you Jewish people have? Amalo, he said, two, Shtayim. We have the Torah Shabbat, the Torah Shabbat. We have the written Torah and we have the oral Torah. Amalo, so the guy says to him, Shebichsab anima mincha. I believe in the Torah Shebichsab. No, that was given on Har Sinai. I believe in it. However, v'shabal peh anima mincha. It's not written down. I don't believe in it. And he says, Gai reini, I want to convert. However, only almanash shel tamdeni Torah Shebichsab. Only I want to learn the Torah that's written down. I don't want to learn about the Torah Shebal peh. So Shammai, of course, knows the halacha. Halacha is somebody doesn't want to even learn one halacha. It doesn't want to accept even one halacha. You're not allowed to convert him. So Shammai, who's the strict Baal Din, Garbo, he gets angry at him, Votsio bin Zifa, and he throws him out. He says, you can't come and convert, you're a chutzpah guy. However, the same Ger comes, Baal Bnei Hillel, he goes to Hillel, and Hillel converts him. Gairi, Hillel does convert this guy. Now, how's Hillel allowed to do this? So the Gemara continues, Yomakam Amaleh. So Hillel goes and teaches the guy Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet. No, the next day, Lemochar, the Ger comes, and Apikle, Hillel teaches him. Rashi says, Tovshin Reish Kuf. He does the exact opposite, according to Rashi. He flips around the order of the Aleph Beis. According to the Rashash, he said the Aleph is Beis and the Beis is Aleph. Or others say that he just switched around the order. The Marsha says he switched around the order of the Aleph Beis. Whatever he did, he switched it around. Apitle. No, the guy says, wait a second. Yes, he said an Aleph was an Aleph. Then you're telling me it's something else. So Hillel responds to him, no, lav alai didi kosamches. How do you know this is an Aleph? Because I taught it yesterday. How do you think I knew it? The Alpeh Nami Smoch Alai, the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's how I know it. So you should trust me. And therefore you should trust the Torah Shebaal Peh as well. And ultimately this person became a real Ger Tzedek. And he accepted not only the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah Shebaal Sa, but also the Torah Shebaal Peh. Gemara continues and tells us another story. Another time, a potential convert came in front of Shammai, and he said to Mamala, Gaireini, convert me, al menash talamdeni kol Torah kula, in order that I should learn the entire Torah. However, I don't want to do it over a long period of time. Kishani yomed al regel achas. I want to do it while I'm standing on one leg. So tell me the Torah, you got a minute. I can stand on my leg for a minute. What did he do? So Shammai pushes him away with the stick, the measuring stick that he had in his hand. The Mara brings down that he pushed him away. He took him with this stick, this measuring stick in the hand, because Shammai was very machbid on the personal character traits of a person, on the midos of a person, the measures of a person. And he would not be mevater on something. If you were not medakdek, so Shammai didn't want to deal with you. And therefore he pushed him away with the measuring stick. He says, the mida is everything. That's what the Maral says. Others explain over here that this is a builder's measuring stick. And in order to make a building, any good architect will tell you, you have to have a sound foundation. So you want to stand on one leg? That's not a sound foundation. And therefore, we push them away with the example that you need to have a sound foundation. You need to have the measuring stick to measure out the sound foundation. Okay. In any event, this ger, this potential ger, comes to Hillel. Ball of the Hillel. And Gaira, Hillel again converts him. Armelo, Hillel says to him, you know what? You want to stand on one foot? Listen, this is what the Torah is all about. The aloch sinei. What you don't like, what you hate, don't do to your friend. In other words, what you don't like, the golden rule, don't do to your friend. Zui kol haTorah kula. That's the essence of the Torah. V'idoch pirusho. Everything else is just explanations of this. And therefore, zil gemar. Go learn. Now, but I taught you it all while you're standing on one leg. Now, why didn't he say the classical Yahavtu Lecha Kamoch, which is a pasuk? So the Mefarshim bring down, the Yin Yaakov says that this would be something that is a positive thing over here. That's a harder thing to do. Actively go and be the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Therefore, we told him the easier thing is, just don't do what you don't want done to you. That's an easier thing to do. And he started him off easier, so to say, and eventually would teach him the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Again, a nice idea. One more story. Shuv Ma'isa Benoch Yechad. Another time a guy came. Shaya Over Achor Beis HaMedrash. He was walking by the Beis HaMedrash. V'shama Kol Sofer Shaya Omer. He heard one of the teachers inside, the Sofer of the Rabbanim. And he heard one of them saying to the children, Ve'il HaBegod V'Sher Yasu Choshen V'Eifod. He was telling him about the Big Day Kahuna. And he was telling him about the Choshen and the Eifod. Two of the Big Day Kahuna. So this guy hears this. And he says, Oh, Omar Alalu Lemi. Who wears these? So the Talmidim told him, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol gets to wear these glorious garments. Amar Sonochim Yatzva, this guy said to himself, Whoa, Eilech V'Eskaya, I'm going to go and convert. Bishul She'isimuni Kohen Gadol. I want to wear those beautiful trappings. So what happens? He goes to the front of Shammai and says, Gai Reini, go and make me a yid, al menashe tisimeni Kohen Gadol, in order that I can become the Kohen Gadol. So again, what does Shammai do? He pushes him away. You're a guy. You can't become Kohen Gadol. He pushes him away again with a measuring stick. Ball of the Hillel, again, this guy comes to Hillel, Gai Reini, and Hillel converts him. Now, of course, how can Hillel do that? The Gemara will explain. Armelo, Hillel tells him, so this guy wants to become the Kohen Gadol. So Hillel tells him, listen, you want to become the Kohen Gadol, you want to become the king, you got to learn all the rules about being a king. So lech lemo, tachsisi malchus. So go learn the laws of how to become the Kohen Gadol, and then we'll deal with halach b'korah. So the guy goes and learns. Ki even shegia, he comes to the pasuk that says, v'zara karev yumos. He comes to the pasuk that says that if somebody is a non-Kohen, he's a zor, he's going to die if he does the avodah. Whoa, the guy says, amalei. He says to Hillel, mikra zeh mi nemai. Who's this talking about? If you're a czar, you can't be the Kohen Gadol. Armelos, so Hillel tells to him, Afilu al David Melch Yisrael. Anybody's a non-Kohen, even if you're the king, even if you're David Melch Yisrael, you can't be the Kohen Gadol. All of a sudden, the guy says, Nos also ger, kavuchomer yatzmo. So this ger, he says to himself, a kavuchomer, if the king can't become the Kohen Gadol, how could I? Umay Yisrael, shenikru banu l'makom, if Yidden, who are called God's children, umitoch ava shava karolem, and it's because God loved us so much, he calls us, b'ni b'chari Yisrael, nevertheless, k'siv aleim, azor ha-krev yumos, yet if we, non-Kohanim, try to become the Kohen Gadol, we do the avoda, we're going to die. So Allah has come to come. Gera kal shabon machal v'samilo. I who am a stranger, I am a convert over here. I'm coming with my little pekel over here, with my stick in my bag. So Allah has come to come that I can't become the Kohen Gadol. So he realizes this, and he's happy to become a regular yid, and he becomes a regular yid. Well, if Neshamai, he goes back to Shammai and he tells him, Amalo, why didn't you tell me? Klum ra'i ani lios Kohen Gadol. Why'd you just kick me out? Why didn't you tell me the answer? Halo kisibatara, azar krev yumos. Then he goes to Hillel, Baal Pnei Hillel, my Lord, he says, Anderson Hillel, Yenuchloch Brachos Aroshcha. Woo, you're such a humble person, Hillel, because you, I became a Yid. Shikraftani Tachas Kafiachin, and you brought me under the wings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, great. What happened? Liyomim, at some future point in time, Nizdavgu Shloshton Lemokum Echot. These three Gerim who Hillel converted and Shammai had thrown away all got together. I don't know why they got together. Amru, they were sent to each other. Captain Uso Shoshamai Bikshul Tadenim in Olam. Because of Shammai, if it wasn't for Hillel, it was only because of Shammai, we wouldn't have come under the Kanfei Shechina. However, on the Sanuso Shel Hillel, because Hillel was so humble, was willing to accept those Kerub, no Tachlis Kanfei Shechina. We did become Yidden. Again, the Chassam Sofer brings down, don't for a second think anything less of Shammai. That was a different approach. And Shammai felt that you can be over here a big Talmud Chacham, but at the same time, you have to have the full package, so to say. Whereas Hillel was a little bit more willing to say, listen, do step by step. But the Chassam Sofer says, don't think for a second that Shammai didn't also mean Makar people. It was just a different approach. Mark continues, says, I'm Rish Lakish. My decision, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Vahoyu emunas itecha chosin Yeshua's chokhmas vadas vigomer? This is a famous pasuk, which we learn from Yeshaya. It's going to have a number of different allusions to it. The first one is that it's an allusion to the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. The Shisha Sidre Mishnah, known by the acronym Zeman Nokat. Zeman stands for Zroyim, Moed, and Noshim. And then Nokat stands for Nezikin, Kachim, and Taros. And now we'll darshan out each of these words. There's six words in this pasuk over here. Emunas, Itecha, Chosen, Yeshuos, Chochmos, Vodas. So Emunas, the pasuk says, is a reference to say the Zroyim. Rashi explains, Sha'al Emunas Ha'odim, Somech Lahafrish, Ma'isrosov Kiroi. That we trust the person to say, well, I made 1,000 bushels over here, so here 10% is 100. So we trust them. Tosu says over here that a farmer has tremendous emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He realizes farmers are amongst the professions. They're constantly relying upon God. If it doesn't rain, if it's not the right temperature, etc. So they have tremendous emun. The Itecha, that's a reference that say to Moed. Itim, of course, all the Zmanim, all the times of the Moed. So that's what Moed is all about, time. Chosen, Zesei Dunoshim. This is a reference to Yuchsin. Chosen, Rashi says, Loshon Yorshin. By the Isha, no, the Yorshin. You get your children because of your wife. Yeshuos, that's the next letter, says Seydu Nezikin. This is a reference to Seydu Nezikin, because a person, Rashi says, who is proper in his conduct, so he's not going to have damages, he's not going to cause somebody else damage, he won't have to pay. He'll be saved from having to pay. Chochma, Zeseydu Kachim. V'das, Zeseydu Taharos. And Das is greater than Kachim, so he's telling us over here that this is the order, so to say. First you have to become Kadosh, and then you become a Tahar. First you have to learn Kachim, and then you can learn about Taharos. And even with all of these six Sidri Mishnah, a person, Bafilu Hachi, the most important thing is Yiras Hashem Hiyotzaro. The real wealth, the real storehouse over here is Yiras Hashem. Without that, everything else is worthless. Well, we'll have examples of this in a few moments, that without Yiras Hashem, anything that you've gathered is going to spoil and go away. But first, Gemara has another way to darshan these six words. When you're going to take your final exam, when a person is 120 years old, he's going to go up to Shemayim, they're going to ask him six questions connected these six words in this pasuk from Yeshaya. The first one, Nosata v'nosata b'amuna, did you go and deal in business in an erlicha fashion with emuna? If a person understands that everything he has is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all set on Rosh Hashanah, how much are you going to make? So if you cheat somebody, you're not gaining one penny. So if a person does all his business dealings with emuna, that's question number one. Question number two, Kavati Lantari. Did you set aside set times for learning? Rashi explains that if you don't set aside set times, your chiyuv to make a parnasa, your business is going to overtake your learning. If you don't put aside set times, that's what's so wonderful about the Daf Yomi or any Yomi program, the Mishnah Berurah Yomi, the Mishnah Yomi. It forces you to set aside a set time each day. So if a person is Kavata Itim, Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't want to say, well, I learned 6 hours this week. No, he wants to say, I learned 1 hour every day on Monday, and I learned 1 hour every day on Tuesday. Because if you're koveya itim, that will be success in Torah. So a person has to set time for Torah. That's question number two. Asakta b'firya rivya, did you try to procreate? That's the whole purpose of the world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he loved Avram because he gave him Yitzchak and taught him everything. So we have to pass on the Masorah. That's what Pesach is coming up. That's what it's all about. Passing on the transmission of our Masorah to our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So you have to have piriya rivya. The Maharsha has a beautiful explanation over here. The Maharsha says, it's not talking about did you actually have children. Moshe Feinstein says, the Igros Moshe says, you don't control that. All you can do is try. So the Marsha says, did you try to make Shiduchim? That's what it's talking about. The Ben Yoyada, on the other hand, says that this is actually a continuation of the previous idea. Did you Kavati Itim LaTorah? And then Asakta B'Firv Yeribya. Did you do the mitzvah? So now you learned Kavati Itim, you learned all about taking off Trumas of Isos. Did you do it? That's Asakta B'Firv Yeribya. Did you take the peros of your learning? That's Lishmar, to learn, and then Lassos, to do. The fourth one is Tzipis Ali Yeshua. Did you wait for Mashiach every day? Did you expect Mashiach to come every day? The fifth one is Pilpata B'Chochmah. Did you try to learn and delve into all sorts of Chochmah? And the final one, Hivanta Dov Nitoch Dover, Bina, is learning one thing from another. So therefore, these are the six words in this Pasuk in Yeshaya. That's what it's referring to. The six questions that will be asked at the Olam HaEmes when we enter at 120 years. And nevertheless, again, the key thing is Yiras Hashem, He, Otsro, In. If you have Yiras Shemayim, so then everything will be stored away for you. But if not, it's all going to be going to waste. And we see this, Rava says, Rava's the one that just brought this down. So he continues and he says, this is a mashal the person sends to his messenger, go bring up a kor's worth, 30 saws worth of wheat up to the attic for me and store it over there. He did it. The shliach did what he was supposed to do. The balabai says to him, did you put in it a preservative called chumton? This was a certain type of an agent. Rashi says has a lot of salt in it. Salt was a preservative. And therefore, did you put salt in it? So the shliach said, no, I'm a lab. So he says, you're wasting my time then. I'm a low. The balabai said, mutav lo im lo helesa. You just wasted your efforts in putting it up there because it's all going to spoil. In other words, if you don't have your Shemayim or your Torah learning, everything is going to go to waste. Tana the Rabbi Shmuel, he learned the base magic of Rabbi Shmuel. Kav chomtem b'chor shel tvuah. Now this is a halacha for mekach u'memcha, that when you're selling a certain amount of wheat, a kor's worth of wheat, so you're allowed to put in a kav's worth of chomtem, and the guy can't complain. Hey, you shortchanged me. You only gave me 29 saw and 5/6 of a saw, because there's six kav in a saw. You left out one kav. So no, the answer is if you put in chumton, so that's part of the sale. That's how Rashi explains this. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, kol adam sheyesh bo Torah. If a person has Torah, we turn to the Amud Beis. The ain bo yirah shemayim, but he unfortunately doesn't have yirah shemayim. So about such a person, it says, doma legizbo shemoshu lo matechos abdivas. You're given over like to the person in charge of the treasure, the gizbar, the storekeepers over here, and they gave you the keys to the inside, you know, safe. However, umavtechos litzinos lo moshu lo, but they didn't give you entry into the building. So, hey, Ayos, how are you supposed to get in? So the Yir Shemayim gets you inside. Oh, then you can open up the Yotzaros, the wealth of Torah. Machaz Rav Yani said, Chaval al delesle darto, woe is to a person that doesn't have a place to live, a darto, a chotzer, the taro le darto of it. But yet, he has a gate. He makes a gate for his courtyard. He doesn't have a courtyard, but he makes a gate for it. In other words, you're wasting your time. You don't have Yir Shemayim, you're wasting your time. Similarly, on Rav Yehuda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Olam Mo'ele Kidei Shiru Milfanov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world so people should be having Yirah Shemayim. They should be in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the essence why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Shenemar, V'alokim Asah, why did Hashem make the world? Shiru Milfanov. The people should stand in awe and fear and trepidation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mark continues and says, Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Elazar, Habu Yasveh, these two great Amoraim were sitting, and Chol of Yozel, Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, and passing by was coming Rav Yaakov Baracha. They said one to the other, Rav Simon said to Rabbi Elazar, or Elazar said to Rabbi Simon, let us rise in front of this great Amora, Rav Yaakov Baracha. Why? So one of them said, because he is a person who's a Yori Shemaim, he's afraid of sin. The other one said, no, because he's a lion, he's a Torah scholar, he's a big Talmud Chacham, so therefore that's what we should stand up for him. So one of them said, stand up for him because of Yori Shemayim. The other one says, because of Tamu Chacham. Amalei, the one who said Yori Shemayim, says, I told you a greater praise. I told you he's a person who's afraid of sin. He's a Yori Shemayim. And you're telling me a lesser praise. You're telling me he's only a Tamu Chacham? I gave you a greater praise. In other words, he said to him that being a Yori Shemayim is greater than being a Tamu Chacham. And which one said which? So Gemara says, "Tistayim the Rabbi who the Omar the Gvar dechel chatoinu." It makes sense based upon another statement that Rabbi Elazar was the one that said Yirah Shemayim, and it was Rabbi Simon said Tamu Chacham. Why is that? Because the Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan's name Rabbi Elazar, Ein lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu biolamo ela Yirah Shemayim bavad. Because there is nothing in this world except Yirah Shemayim. Shenemar, V'atoy Yisrael Moshe Melkech Shomei Moch. Ki im liyirah v'gomer. What does Hashem want from us? Ela yirah. And furthermore, it says, v'yom liyadam, hein yiras Hashem, hi chochma v'gomer. The word hein means one. Shekein b'loshin yavani karen lachas hein. So in other words, the one, the most important thing in the world is Yirah Shamayim. Oh, so this was said over the name of Rebbe Elazar, Tisnayim, Mestama, that Rebbe Elazar was the one that said that Yirah Shamayim is greater than even Talmud Torah. We continue, and Darash Ravula said, my disciple, what does the pasuk mean when it says in Koheles, Al Tir Shahar Beva Gomer, don't be a huge Russia, don't be excessively a Russia, Al Tir Shahar Beva, don't be a lot of Russia. No, harbi hu delo lirsha. Don't be a big Russia. Oh, not lirsha. A little bit of Russia, that's okay. Moses says, obviously not. Ella. Misha ochal shum v'recho nodeh. If there's somebody eating garlic and his breath smells garlic breath, his breath smells horrible, so what should he do? Yazu yocho shum achar. He should eat even more garlic and make his breath even worse. V'recho nodeh. So obviously, if you did something wrong, so don't say, ah, it's fafalin, it's too late, I might as well do other things wrong. No, even if you did something wrong, so don't do things worse. Try to do tshuva. Furthermore, Darash Rav Arula says another thing. My disciple, what does it mean? The pasuk says, "Ki ein chatzubos lemosam uvari ulam." What does that mean? So he says, "Lo dayon lerishayim." It's not enough that the rishayim sheinun charedim v'yatzevim. So Rashi says that's what chatzubos means. Charedim v'yatzevim. They're not afraid and they're not worried about miyom hamisa. So it's not bad enough that they're not worried about the day of death. The rishayim should wake up and smell the coffee and say, "Whoa, I'm going to die. What am I doing?" So it's bad enough that they don't do that. El shalibam barilam kulam. Instead, they say, let's do more sins. Let's go out and have our sins as wide as the ulam, a big, wide opening to a palace. That's what Rabbi meant when he said, the pasuk says, Zed darkum kesalomo. This is the way the fools are. Yo, dimishayim shadarkum misa. They know they're going to misa. They know what the end is going to be. And nevertheless, the Yeshlem Chelev Al Kislam, that they have fatty kidneys. The kidneys, the Ksalim, are the seed of wisdom. And yet they have fat, so to say, their pleasures in this world are covering up their wisdom. Shema, Tomar Shichlo Himen. And you want to tell me, oh, maybe they forgot? And that's what happens? No, Tamaloma, Vachareyem, Befiem, Yutsusela. They know what's going to happen. And yet they don't stop themselves. They allow their desires and pleasures in this world to blind them, so to say. They don't forget about it. They just don't care about it. And Nebuch, they're going to get their punishment. Gemara continues to back to quote the Mishnah. Kichos al aner. We said that if you have pity, so to say, you don't want to lose the money on your candles and your wicks, etc., so then that's an issa deraisa. But Rav Yossi said, no, only in the case of the psila is it considered an isser. So Gemara says, Rav Yossi, command sirle, who does Rav Yossi hold like? Does he hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Does he hold like Rabbi Shimon? Ik Rav Yehuda sirle, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so then afilo bahanaf nami l'chayev, then all of them should be chayev, because Rav Yehuda says that even though it's a davashenu miskavein, it's also to do it on Shabbos. No, it can't be then Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, so you're like, if you also Rabbi Shimon says the Davar Miskavein is not Osir, so then Psila not Lifter. So even the Psila, he's over here, he's not interested in the Psila, he's just interested in not wasting the Psila, so therefore he's not interested in the Psila that it was lit, so how come he's Chayev according to Rabbi Shimon? So Amu'ula, Lula says, Li'olam Kirbi Yehuda's Rila. In fact, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Davar Shimon Miskavein is Osir. So no, why over here with the others he's not Osir? Because Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Sosir Amenas Livdos Bimkomo, that if you're doing something, Sosir, for a benefit, then that's considered over here in Isir, heavy Sosir. However, Amenas Livdos Shalobim Mekomo, low heavy Sosir. But if you're not doing it for right over here, you're doing it for some other point in time, then even Rabbi Yehuda would not say that it's Sosir. And therefore, only with the Psila is it right over here. You're going to relight this lamp over here, this wick over here. So that's considered, even only according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the only one that's going to be Sosir. And that's a Ab Melacha according to Rabbi Yossi. But the others, he says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would not be an Ab Melacha. So that's how Ula understood it. Amalei Rabba, Rabba tells you, Mifti. Well, let's examine this a little bit better. Kal melachos, yalfina lehu mi mishkan. We learn out all the ab melachos from the Mishkan, and what happened to the Mishkan? Awesome. So shal benas livno shalobim komo. They took down the Mishkan. That's the ab melacha. And they didn't put it up in the same place. They took it down. They took it down to put it up someplace else. So how can you tell me over here it has to be in the same place? So Ula says, no, that's wrong. Amalei, Ula says back to Rabba, Shani Hossam, it's different over here. Why? Kivin Dersiv Api Hashem Yachanu, Api Hashem Yisu, because they went by the goings of Hashem. They stopped by the goings of Hashem. So therefore, Kisosha Amanas Livnos Mukomandami. So they're going exactly doing what Hashem said. So therefore, that is different. Rav Yochanan Amar, a different answer. He reconciles over here Rav Yossi's opinion as follows. Lo like Rav Shimon's relay. He says Rav Yossi holds like Rav Shimon. Why? He says, Umayishna Psila. Why is a Psila different? Why is the wick the only one that is chayiv, even according to Rav Shimon, when you're not chayiv for anything else? Kedam Rav Nuna. Because that goes like the opinion of Rav Huna, or alternative, Yitema Rav Adam Rav. What did he say? Hocha Psila Shetzarech Lahabava Askina. We're talking about where the wick must be lit. The wick must be singed over here in order for it to be considered that you're over. Why? The Baha'i, in this situation, I feel Rav Shimon Modi, even there, in this situation, Rav Shimon is Modeh, the Komesakim Mona, because you're getting it over here fixed. So in this situation, it's a Dover Shimiskadein, and even Rav Shimon would say that you're Chayav over here. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, Amarava Daikonami, if you look carefully at the words of our Mishnah, you'll see that this is right, Diktani. Because what does it say by Rav Yossi? Shu Oseh Pecham. It says that you're making this Psila over here into a Pecham, into a charcoal. It didn't say v'lo kitani mipnei shenasis pechem, that it becomes a charcoal. It's no, you made it into a charcoal, so it's a dover shemiskavin, and that's why even Rabbi Shimon would say that yachayv, and that's why Rabbi Yossi says that yachayv, shema mina. That's a very good raya. This is a good place to stop. Again, we learned Lila named my father, Nishmas, my holy father, Avi Murray, Rabbi Yossi Nisim and Yecheskel, his neshama, and all the others that we've learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. Have a great night.